Tonight, the AV Club's Professor X, John Tatey, rides sidecar for the first hour. Then later, we'll get a Chicago sports and Chicago dating update from Mark Carmen. And finally, pet expert Steve Dale answers your questions. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, it is Tuesday night, and John Tatey, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, joins me in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm a little amped. I think you can tell. I'm a little amped.
I noticed.
I just came from seeing a movie from my childhood on the big screen. I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark in restored digital, and it was phenomenal at the movie co in Rosemont. You have to come sometime.
I'd love to, yeah. This is part of an ongoing series,
yes,
right?
Nick D does his film club. They're doing Airplane, I believe, next month.
Oh, that's great.
You got to come. And then you come here. It works perfectly. I'll give you a ride.
Okay.
And then I'll put you in an Uber and send you home.
Okay.
On me.
Why don't you run that by my wife, and we'll see how that works
out.
Can
she come with? Get a babysitter that night.
Okay.
Yeah, for Leo. Baby Leo.
We're getting a babysitter this Thursday. Actually, we're going to go see Tame Impala. You know Tame Impala?
I do not know Tame Impala.
You don't.
Am I saying it correctly?
Maybe we can play one of their songs for the bump.
We shall look for Tame and Paula. Is that T A M E?
Like a car.
T A M E, yeah.
An Impala.
Oh, Impala.
Or like the animal, yeah.
Like a sedate car.
Chevy Impala is a classic car.
It is a.
There you go.
Why are you going? How is this your night out? This seems like you're just going to fall asleep somewhere.
It gets, this is nice. Mean, this is just the lead into a song, but God, it's really beautiful music.
Okay. And where is Tame Impala playing?
I forget. The UIC Pavilion? Is that a place?
Yes, it is a place.
Yeah, okay.
It was the place where Donald Trump attempted to have a rally, actually, that Craig and I attended, and was canceled due to fear.
Yeah.
due to staging. To do immense media and, planned events, I believe.
Big night for Trump. He made his little speech with the teleprompters
tonight
and everything.
He didn't do a speech at all that night.
No, tonight.
Oh, he did a speech tonight? For what?
Just for being Trump.
Wasn't he supposed to do my statements about the judge were taken out of context?
Yes.
And
that
how did
was
he address
the gist
that?
Of it. He, in a sidelong way, it's, you know those people who
tell an American whose mother is from Mexico.
Yeah.
Exactly how I took that out of context.
Do you ever have friends where when they realize that they're wrong in an argument, they apologize in the most halting and self-serving way possible?
Do you think that he realized he was wrong, or do you think that he was strong-armed?
No,
because Lindsey Graham said this is the off-ramp for Republicans backing Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This is where you need to get off. Which
and
I thought, this is it?
Like,
this is the moment?
I picture a car like it's gone off into the dirt, into the desert, and it's trailing. Like it's got tumbleweeds in the wheel wells. And here's Lindsey Graham saying, I think this is our exit coming right up.
Smoke coming out of the hood. There's a sign that says next rest area, 385 miles. No. Let's get off here.
There it is.
This is a good spot. Paul Ryan said that he, it was the definition of racism, but he still believes that Donald Trump has the temperament to be. I don't know how you define someone as being racist and then say, but he still has a temperament to be our president, to have the most powerful job in the world. And at least Senator Mark Kirk has said that he will not. That was a burst, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was. You know how to clear a room, I guess, Patty.
Senator Kirk has said that he will not support.
He's unendorsed Trump.
Am my headphones on like really loud? That's happening. He has said he will not support. I mean, I believe he's the only person that's come out and said that.
Yeah. And is he going to change his mind next week?
He can't because, he could, but he has said that, and it was partly because his opponent, Tammy Duckworth, has attacked him. And in Illinois, believe it or not, Latino voters are a significant part of the voting population.
Hmm.
We have, in Chicago, we have the second largest Mexican-American population in the United States, second only to Los Angeles.
I did not know that.
Yes. So I know. People never think of, because my mom said that, I asked her during a really cold winter, I said, why Chicago? She said, I wasn't planning to stay.
I see.
Yes. So a lot of Latinos have come to this city, you know, networking and through family members and relatives or you know, friends, getting them jobs and, you know, just creating neighborhoods.
So Mark Kirk has
skin in this game. Because he can't afford to lose Latino voters in Illinois.
And so he has unendorsed, but he's certainly not the only one triangulating right now.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right. And that's, I mean, the verbal, I mean, it started with my home state of New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, the senator there, who's in a tough race there. She said that she supports Trump, but does not endorse him. Which just raised I think it's the first time a distinction had been drawn between those two things. And that just started all these amazing, if you're a lover of the English language like I am,
yes.
I'm just thrilling at how it's getting twisted and it's being cut finer than it's like see-through prosciutto that you get at like a fine Italian restaurant. It's cut so thin, the English language here, in terms of supporting and endorsing and
right.
And yeah. The nominee, they don't like to say the words Donald Trump. Like, so I support the Republican nominee,
whoever that
may
is.
Be.
Yes.
Who could it be?
Because they are running on anyone but Hillary, I believe is the
yes.
is the mantra. Anyone but Hillary.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, it should be, I think in anyone's mind, it should be anyone but the other party, ultimately. But if you feel that your candidate doesn't reflect you, then you have to investigate what's going on in your party rather than like anyone but the opponent.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that I think that an election year is a tough time for soul searching, right?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
So, I mean, I don't look, as much as I may enjoy the Schadenfreude of this moment of watching these politicians tie themselves in knots trying to say something without saying it, I do feel a little bad for them.
Which ones?
I support the nominee ones.
Those?
I feel a little bad for them.
Esmeralda, does it remind you a little bit of, there's a comic who has a bit about, like, I like him, but I don't like him. There's, right? Like he's okay, but I don't want to spend the night with him.
Kind right. of he's tolerable, but
yeah.
Look, these people don't even like him. That's the thing, you know?
Well, and the thing about trying to come out and make a statement about what he meant in relation to this judge who is of Mexican ancestry, why? Because it hasn't mattered before. It hasn't mattered before whether or not the party's behind him. The people who support him aren't going anywhere. They agree with him. My guess is there are people who say, yeah, I'll bet a Mexican judge would give him a harder time. I'll bet a female judge would give him a hard time after the things he said about Megan Fox and the things he said about women. I mean, yeah. Where does it stop?
Well, I'm sure you're right, but your point cuts both ways because of that, because there is this constituency out there that will agree with this, it didn't need to be said. I mean, that's the bizarre and amazing thing about this past week is that it was, you know, and I think there's going to be more moments like this, but it was a crisis entirely of Trump's manufacturing.
But that's the thing about Trump's campaign. None of it needs to be said because they've been thinking it for so long. More after this on 720 WGN. You know what's amazing? John Tatey,
yep.
Editor-in-Chief of the AV Club. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about Donald Trump and his comments about a judge who is of Mexican ancestry mm-hmm. and how he cannot be impartial when it comes to his case because he would be mad about the wall. And, of course, my job is to be opinionated. I have a talk show, mm-hmm. and I am of Mexican ancestry. So it makes me angry that that's being used as a bat against somebody who has studied the law, who has risen to this stature, who has accomplished something.
Surprise to me,
I know. So what is bizarre to me is that Hillary Clinton has pretty much locked up all the delegates. She has won her primaries, mm-hmm. Three primaries tonight, and yet we're still talking about Trump.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't. But I was wondering last night why the AP came out and announced that she'd already won enough delegates before she even had the primaries today. Why not let her have the big moment?
Those busy bodies at the AP.
Well, why not let her have a big moment? I mean, I guess it's not their job to let her do anything.
No, it's not.
It's their job to be ahead of the news, to make the news, to get the headlines. But, I mean, let it play out. But
yeah, I mean,
it's supposed to
look. I'll defend the AP here. You know, I think it's their repertorial drive, and they sensed that the information was out there. If they just did the legwork and found the delegates, the super delegates who were committed to Hillary Clinton, she only needed a few more to put her over that number, and so they went out and got it. And it was, you know, it was good enterprise reporting. But
was it? How was it different yesterday than it was on Sunday or like last Friday?
That I don't know. I mean, thought you might say that.
Yes.
And I don't know. And maybe they just were able to find people who are more willing to go on the record since we were so close to the end. But
timing is interesting.
The timing is interesting.
What is the AP, Associated Press? How are they associated? And what are they associated with? I'm just curious.
That's just a syndicate, right?
I know. So what are they? They publish in all the local, they syndicate all the newspapers?
Yeah. Right.
Where are their offices? I'm just curious. I've wondered about this.
I don't know. I don't know where their headquarters
are. It's like they say they say that meat is bad for you now. I feel like that's the Associated Press now.
I always looked at it as this, like you, as this strange, far-off entity. And then
right?
I remember I was in college and we had, there was actually a, what was it? Oh, it was shortly after September 11th. Mm-hmm. There was some minor terrorism scare in the area while I was editor of my college paper. And so I was out reporting this story and I happened to run into an AP reporter and we just decided to report it together. And he was just a regular guy. And it totally shattered the image of the AP as this like all-knowing news machine. It's just reporters. It's regular, you know, just like here at the Tribune. It's
right.
Just, yeah.
What is their byline? AP press guy.
Yeah. Right? No, they get bylines.
I know they do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It doesn't seem like they have enough vested interest because they're national. You know,
well,
there's something about your local. That's why you need to, you know, invest in your time and effort in reading what's going on in your city and then how they're reporting it nationally. You know, I pull from the Washington Post, New York Times, the LA Times. I pull from Houston, from Denver, from every morning. I did a presentation yesterday at my son's school for the Girl Scouts. Not for Griffin, but for the girls. They're getting a badge. I'm not even kidding you, on night owls.
What?
So they're talking about nocturnal habits of animals that are, you know, that obviously only prey at night. And I am a night owl, so they wanted to get someone who only works at night.
Wait. There's a merit badge, and it's the night owl.
It's a night
merit
owl badge.
Badge.
Yes, it's the.
And what do they do to acquire this badge?
They study animals that are awake at night, including
animals. You're not speaking metaphorically here.
Both metaphorically.
People and animals. Okay.
Yes. So they wanted to hear from someone who works at night, and when I started talking about it, I was like, yeah, when I wake up. I'm working because I immediately open my phone. I have an app that shows me all the news stories that are all over the country, all over the world, whether it's Flipboard or FARC, or they have something that has like fast news. And I pull them all open and I'm looking to see what's going to be interesting for the day.
FARC. I love that you still read FARC. That's been around since
not
way
as
back.
Much. Not as much. I just hate their snarky little titles in their head.
Of the site is FARC.
I
what
know,
do you expect?
I get bored very quickly with FARC. But I do. I open my phone and the first thing I do is I go to the main app that I have, which is
uh-huh.
is Fast News.
And you
News.
Bring up avclub.com.
So I got New York Times. That comes up. It gives me all the top 10 stories of the day, what's trending, mm-hmm. Chicago Tribune. So I'm working as soon as I wake up. I felt bad telling them that. I'm constantly thinking of what can I talk about on my show.
Yeah, never stop was basically your message today. Never sleep, never stop.
Well, I've always liked being up at night. I love
Me too.
Sunsets. I love the way the city looks at night. I love the way being out in the middle of nowhere looks in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, seeing the stars.
I was always a night owl.
Yeah.
My parents tell me, or my rather my older brother used to tell me how, like, even when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10, he'd come home from being out with his friends and the light in my bedroom would still be on at all hours.
Aww.
Yeah.
Little John Tatey.
Yeah.
Future editor.
Baby John Tatey.
AV Club. What is your, coming up after the news, you have a, no, all right then. We'll see what's happening after the news on 720 WGN. First to break. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. I was just telling him a story off the air. We really do need to have microphones in the studio off the air. But I was telling
him, then it wouldn't be the same. We wouldn't tell the same story.
I'll tell you the same story. A friend of mine who is going to be on the show tomorrow night, Joe Wilcox, who is one of the organizers of RibFest. I've known him for a long time. He's actually known me. He'll probably be the one guest that's known me since I was... Have we had anyone that's known me since I was 17? I don't know. I don't think we've had anybody that has been that goes that far back. He was a lifeguard at North Avenue. I know it's surprising to hear me say that I was a lifeguard at North Avenue, but he is one of the organizers of RibFest, and I am a celebrity judge. It's weird to say at RibFest. I'll be eating 14 to 15 different styles of ribs.
Will you
on Sunday?
14 of 15.
There's gonna be have two ribs, two bones of meat. From 14 or 15 different places.
Oh, 14 or 15. Oh,
different
I thought they were going to hold one back from you.
Yeah, you don't get to have the mystery one.
Yeah.
So he posted on Facebook. He was very excited to be going on Man Cow's show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, I would totally have you on our show. Why are you excited about that? They did Ro Khan's show, I believe, on Monday. I was like, I'm one of your judges. Why aren't you doing my show? And like they want to do the prime time, they want to do the early morning shows. Okay, but I want to have you on the show too. So then he texts me, sends me a private message on Facebook that it was the worst experience ever to go on Man Cow's show. So badly that they uninvited Man Cow as one of their celebrity judges.
What
surprise,
happened?
Surprise!
Yeah, right.
So I used to be a regular on Man Cow's show, and there was one time, and I used to always try to dress. The nicer I looked, the nicer he was to me, and he would have me on regularly. And one of the reasons I went on was because my manager at the time, who is the publicist for Zany's Comedy Clubs, is Rick Geezer. So like to make sure that he would still be in good favor if Man Cow said he wanted Patty Vasquez.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I will talk about myself in the third person because that's how I felt when I would go on Man Cow's show. I was
like
no
a
longer
separate
a person.
Person.
Yes, I was no longer myself. And I had to stand there when the...
Now, what do you mean by that? Did you take on a persona?
Yes.
Or were you... Okay.
I had to because... Yeah. So I have a story about my father catching me when I was in high school, discovering my womanliness. Right. And I was on my couch. Uh-huh. And Man Cow loved that story. And it was the only story he ever wanted me to tell. And he would have other women, like he would bring young women on the show and like they would do a video of me explaining to them, like discovering their womanliness and how it's okay to touch yourself. And so it was that's part of who I am. But I became just a one note character on his show. I was that girl. And one time I tried making a comment about the puppeteer who got in trouble, the Elmo puppeteer.
Oh, right, yeah.
Who got in trouble, for molesting young boys.
Right.
Right. So
yes.
I said on his show, what do you expect from a guy who's had his hand up a puppet's ass for the last 20 years? And Man Cow just went crazy, turned my mic off, started yelling at me off the air and how dare I and all this stuff.
Really?
And,
he's a big Elmo defender.
But it was like the my context and how could I say it was so bizarre. And I still had to stand there because I was a guest on his show and I had. And it was so bizarre. And I, for 3 hours.
Do you know why this inflamed him so?
Because he wanted it to sound like I was saying something more outrageous than he was.
Oh, okay.
It's so much
Got
easier
it.
To like yeah. use somebody else as a scapegoat.
Right.
Even though it's a guest. That's one of the things I've learned as a host is to make guests feel comfortable rather than use
notion.
Them as a
yeah.
tool. And so I stood there for 3 hours. And then near the end of his show, off the air, he goes, oh, you have a kid with a disability, don't you? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, what's that like? Like off the air, it was so matter of fact, and it was so off the cuff and unexpected. I told him it's like having a crush on somebody who will never love you the way you love them back.
Wow.
And I had never, and I think because I'd been standing there for 3 hours, I was raw. And I just said something that was like at my core, the absolute truth and honest.
Yeah.
And it was that to me, like as how much as I hated being on Man Cow's show, like I was like, you know, I found a part of myself.
Yeah, but off the air, that was?
Off the air. Yeah, it was not. No, he would never ask me that on the air.
Huh.
What?
Too human?
Let's see. Oh, we have an idea from Dave. We were talking about Donald Trump and Mark Kirk rescinding his endorsement. Or I don't know. Did Senator Kirk ever endorse Donald Trump, Dave? Do you know?
I never heard him. But the thing is, if he is saying he's still not going to endorse him, what you should have is a countdown and see how many days or even hours it will be till Mark Kirk does what everyone else did who said they wouldn't have anything to do with Trump or at odds with Trump, eventually caved in
yes.
like a domino
You're
effect.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm naive or something, but I really thought this Paul Ryan guy from Wisconsin had some integrity to him, and I thought he would stick by his convictions to the end, but I was really surprised when eventually he caved in and said, oh, I'll go with Trump. And, you know, I guess Kirk is the last guy standing.
Do you think, Dave, that Paul Ryan is looking at the next election and doesn't want to dissuade the present fear or the sort of energy that Donald Trump is stirring up? Do you think he's counting on Trump losing and figure that by, you know, endorsing him or supporting whatever verbiage he's using to then retain those voters for the next election?
I don't know, but actually what I'm thinking is that Kirk knows that Trump has a pretty good chance of becoming president, and he knows that it might be a disastrous president.
Right.
And what Kirk will capitalize on in years, you know, 4 years from now, and saying, hey, I'm the only Republican that stayed true to my convictions. Mm-hmm. You voters got what you asked for. Look what you have now.
Interesting.
So vote for me. I'm a guy who stands by his word, and I will save the Republican Party and clean it up, because everyone else just fell like dominoes.
Well, he is also the only, I believe, the only Republican who has said that they should have hearings for the Supreme Court justice nominee from President Obama.
He's not the only one, but he's one of the few.
He's one of the loudest, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I thought that, you know, I don't know much about Kirk, but wasn't he fairly disabled a few years ago
with a stroke or something? Yes.
But has he come around really well or something? Has he had some kind of miracle? He's
battled
really
back with a lot of physical therapy and I think he's worked very hard. Yes, I think his recovery has been significant.
He's been really remarkable, I think. And I guess he's just back in. I thought he would be out of. I thought he wouldn't be able to remain in politics at the rate he was going. But I don't know. But let's see how long it will be if he really sticks to his word.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate the comments.
Sure. I appreciate your show. And I was just next door having my green tea at Argo Tea. And, you know, I like to listen to you guys at the same time.
I was just in there getting a green tea myself.
Yeah.
So I probably ran into you.
That's so
well,
great.
You know, try to ask them to make it foamy on top the next time you have it, so it looks like a beer, because it always tastes better.
Oh, with the hot tea, I'm guessing, not with the green iced tea.
Yep, it is.
Those are the secrets at Argo. Thank you, Dave.
Good tip, Dave.
Yeah, join the conversation anytime. Thank you.
Okay, keep up the good work, guys. I like you guys turn on people's brain cells.
Doing my best.
Know. All right.
Thanks,
take
Dave.
Care.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye.
And you have the nicest callers.
Thank you.
I mean, I know they're screened and everything.
We get Craig will put people on who are joining the conversation, and they can agree or disagree. Sometimes the struggle is my tone.
Sure.
If I disagree with somebody, and because I invite people, there are nights when I've said, I'm not going to argue with you. Tell me why you support Donald Trump, and I will not negate that at all. I want to hear your thoughts. And some of the things that happen, I have to hold myself back, even though everyone's like flipping out. I'm like, no, okay. And then I sound condescending is what I've been
thinking. Well, it's a tough, you know, I run into it with, you know, we're both in the public sphere and we're both in the business of, yes, expressing opinions often. My opinions are about pop culture, but that relates to politics and to broader culture and all these things. So it touches on things that are really sensitive to people.
Because
plus, pop culture people are crazy about anyway, right?
People think their opinions are part of their identity.
Right. So they take it personally. And that's the tough thing. Like, it's my job to express my opinion with verve and enthusiasm.
Right.
And it's not like I'm not ever truthful, but when I believe something, I will get out there and say it and try to defend it. And we're doing this Facebook Live stuff so much right now.
Yes, I tried watching yesterday and you crashed.
And it crashed.
I'm
oh
so
my
sorry.
God, it drives me crazy. Thank you for watching.
It is a great set, by the way.
Thanks.
I was like, how can we do that?
And, you know, people send in their live comments and often disagree with them. It comes up, you know, I don't see all of them. They're screened for me too, but, you know, they'll come up and they'll disagree. And I always, you know, 90% of the time, instead of arguing, I'm just like, hey, there's another point of view. Thanks for sharing that. And it's amazing how it disarms people.
Right.
Because people,
yes.
I think people just want to be, they want to have the feeling that they're being listened to, that they're being heard,
I
right?
agree.
And it costs me nothing to hear and to listen to people.
And that's what the woman who used to produce for Wally Phillips was just honored at the WGN Walk of Fame. And I ran into her in the bathroom and I asked her, how did people, like, what kind of phone calls did you get? And were they ever hostile? Mm. And she said she would always say the same thing. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Good to hear.
Yeah, glad to hear from you.
Glad to hear from you. And then she would just dismiss it. And they felt like they had been heard and that's it.
Well, they'd been given a platform, right? What more can they ask for? And I think, you know, it has the added benefit of being the truth. Thank you. You know, I hadn't thought of that. Thank you for saying that. It's all truthful.
And behind it, I'm like, I think you're wrong to the umpteenth degree, but I hadn't thought of that.
But we hadn't thought
of that pile of crazy, but thank you for putting it out there for me.
But you've already gotten to say your piece, right? And
yes.
I think that a good... host in any context is aware of the fact that they have this platform. They print ink by the barrel use ink by the barrel.
Well, and that's why we tell people, you know, if you want to join the conversation, 312-981-7200. The thing about texting that always makes me a little bit crazy is the one-sided, like, poking, like just throwing things out there and accusing.
Yeah.
Join the conversation. Do you have a question? Do you have a point to make that you want us to respond to? Or do you just want to accuse? Because accusing, there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
I can't help you through that pile of crazy. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Nice music.
That is good music. And John Tatey is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. You wanted to bring up something.
I have a hobby that I wanted to talk about. Yes, I like to follow robots on Twitter.
Twitter. What are robots on Twitter?
Twitter bots. There's a small community of people who basically create these computer programs that tweet out. You know, maybe it's every few hours, maybe it's once a day, and they all have Let me just tell you about a few of them instead of trying to explain what they are, because they are quite bizarre.
Do they have handles? What are their Twitter handles?
Yes. So I'm going to give you a few so that the listeners can follow them if they'd like. The first one is Museum Bot. This is one of my favorites. And this bot, just every few hours, it'll tweet an image from the online Metropolitan Museum of Art archive.
Right now they have a jug of some sort.
Yeah, there's often jugs and there's a lot of pottery
and a knife
that comes up. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But it's just a little art inserted into your day, into your Twitter feed. That's at Museum Bot. My favorite bot is TV Helper, which is at TV Comment Bot. All one word, at TV Comment Bot. And this is quite an extraordinary bot that this... I can't remember the programmer's name right now, but he set up this bot that watches TV and every once in a while will take a screenshot and it will try to generate a caption based on what, through image processing software, it sees. You're laughing at the captions, right?
Yeah.
They're really funny.
Yeah, no, he wiped his pimps on the mat. Depend upon it. There is ski note so suspect as the commonplace hashtag Miss USA. I don't understand.
Oh, this is on the Miss USA pageant. Yeah, that's great.
You know, another one a lot like that one, I don't know if you've seen it, John, is Drone Sweetie.
No, tell me.
It is, they try to capture where Google drones are in the air and then tweet what the drone would be looking at. So an example of a tweet is a pair of sunglasses on a bicycle with a pole with the helmet.
Oh.
So it'll just tweet things that it thinks the drones are seeing.
Oh, that's Drone Sweetie?
Drone Sweetie, yep, at Drone Sweetie.
That's great. I love that.
It's awesome.
TV Helper's fun, and it sounds like this Drone Sweetie is fun in the same way, because like you can tell sometimes what the computer is looking at and what it sees and through the caption it makes. Sometimes the caption is very funny, and sometimes it's completely removed from what you see on screen. This guy has also made another bot. I don't know the handle, but it's basically TV Faces Bot, and it just tries to capture faces that it sees on TV, and
right.
It's amazing the stills that it ends up with. Just these strange photos of TV celebrities that it comes out with. I also like poem.exe, which... somewhat confusingly, you can follow at poem_exe. That's that little line on your keyboard. Shift hyphen is the underscore. Poem_exe. And it just generates a poem every few hours. Here's
like
one,
that.
For instance. Sleepless night. Stream flows in darkness lingering. That's a poem that a computer just came
nice.
Up with.
That was real nice.
By the way, there was a somebody told me in Springfield.
I like the beatniks.
Yeah, I figured I'd snap for it. Have you seen Botgol too, by the way?
No.
I was going to say that we have a listener who wants to know if we would replay old episodes of Frank McCoy. Who had this show from like the 1940s till 1970s? He was just in the Walk of Fame last year, and I wasn't familiar, but he did a lot of poetry, and I was thinking that we needed to have a poetry segment on the show. Maybe we'll do it with this
robot poetry. Yeah.
Robot
well,
poetry.
Here's another robot poem from poem_exe. The whole sky tied to his hat, a crystal forest.
Oh,
right,
that's
yeah,
beautiful.
Very
now,
evocative.
Is that just words sort of strung together somehow, or
I don't
is it
know.
Poem?
I don't know the methodology behind.
Because it reminds me a little bit of like refrigerator poems.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean, like you just.
I mean, there's some element of that, yeah. And but I, you know, it's kind of fun because I kind of think about like how was it coming up with these. I wonder what the mechanism behind it. I don't know in Poem.exe's case what it is.
It was Franklin McCormick, by the way, who was a radio personality here at WGN. He had this time slot. I told someone I was on overnights, and they're like, "Oh, you have Franklin McCormick's old slot." And I was like, "Well, actually, I have Milt Rosenberg's, and I also have Stephen Johnny's, and apparently, we've all been holding the spot for Franklin McCormick."
Wow.
But he
I
had
feel
poetry.
Honored. What a great name for radio,
Isn't
too.
It though
Franklin McCormick.
McCormick.
Yes. Did you have another one, Craig? I think you.
Oh, I said Botgol. It is actually a bot that creates a boggle board, and then the first person to get a word from the board wins the points for the day.
Ooh.
It's pretty funny.
That's similar to one that I follow, Trivibot, Trivi bot, and it's an ongoing trivia game that you can tweet in.
Trivibot, okay.
Trivibot.
Have you won on Trivibot, John?
I am embarrassed to say that I have won a few games on Trivibot. You have to get 10 points. You have to get 10 questions right over the course of a game, so I've just been spending a lot of time on this pointless Twitter robot trivia game.
What is the capital of Nepal?
Is it Kathmandu?
Who was the first woman in space? Was it Sally Ride or was it somebody else?
I don't know. I think the first woman in space was a Russian, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe I messed that one up already.
Could be Sally Ride, though. I don't know.
But I see your answer already here on June 2nd. One half, apparently.
One half.
I don't know what the question was.
What is the square root of one quarter, I believe, was the question.
Someone answered the carpenters. I'm curious.
By the way, the first woman in space was a Russian. Her name was Valentina Kershkova,
I think. Type that one in because no one's
got it. One way to say it, yeah.
Respond to Trivibot.
All right, I got it.
Oh, yeah. Get a point there,
Get
Craig.
A point. Get it.
And the last one I wanted to share with the listeners was at Census Americans. Every few hours, this bot just tweets out a mini biography of some American using census data. So, for example, here's one. I studied physical and health education teaching. Last time I got married was in 1980. I served during the Vietnam and Korean era.
Interesting.
So it's just sort of grabbing demographic data and, you know, picking out one person, I think at random, one person from the crowd, and it tweets out a little bio of them.
See, I follow things like Uber facts, and I get stupid things. And sometimes it's really disgusting things, too, by the way. And then sometimes they're interesting things.
I think Uber facts is pretty shaky.
Yeah, they seem to be, and shady.
Yeah, shady may be the better word for it, yeah.
I'm trying to see who I follow. Latino Council on Media I follow. Slate.com. Ooh, I don't need to see that picture anymore. By the way, one of the things on your TV helper was about one of the best episodes of Friends ever, but I don't know which episode that was. Which reminds me, Craig, there was a listener at Nick D's Movie Club who thinks that we should expand our rivalry, our feud with Nick
D. We are not in a feud of any kind. Nick is very upset about using that word, so we are not in that.
Rob Martier, Esmeralda, do you feel that we were in a feud with Nick D when it came to whether or not Seinfeld...
Now, this is awkward for Esmeralda specifically
Friends.
Because she is sort of
both
a
shows,
child
yes.
of both of us.
Well,
here.
I'm just going to say no.
No.
Well,
Pat, you know where my allegiance lies, and that's with you. So any sort of kerfuffle or dust-up
Ooh.
With any other host, look out.
I love kerfuffle.
And you know me, Patty. I can get fired up.
Oh, I love being in a kerfuffle. We are not in a feud with Nick D. We are in a full-on kerfuffle.
With Rob in front. He's
and
actually leading the charge.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nick D, but, you know, don't mess. All right, man? Don't mess.
Someone was asking me today if it had to be exclusive. Do you have to pick Seinfeld or Friends? And I don't think you do. It just seems that Seinfeld lovers think that we're
have
idiots.
It up for Friends.
What are we debating, by the way?
Oh, which show is better, Seinfeld or Friends? It all started because I did a podcast on it, and I actually said I really like both shows, but apparently that didn't register.
No,
you like Friends better. More for this on 720.